Let us pray. God, we all experience hunger. We all experience thirst. Pray you'd speak to us this morning what this is about, this dialogue between Jesus and the people. Lead us in your truth. Lead us in your way. Lead us to true food, true drink. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So all of chapter 6 is Jesus interacting with the crowds, and out of the crowds emerge the religious Orthodox folk, and they are offended by Jesus. Jesus doesn't back down. He ups the ante and offends them even more. Whenever I hear this, it's usually a point of understanding about God that's at stake, and so Jesus gives no ground, absolutely no ground in this argument regarding bread, but ultimately regarding life itself. Jesus makes a statement earlier in chapter 6. He says, just as the Father has life in himself and has made it so that the Son has life in himself, so there is life in this bread, in this cup. That is the nature of God, to have life in God's self. Beyond gender, beyond male or female, God is the source of life. And so Jesus, I believe, that's the center of what he's saying in this piece of a dialogue that we come upon in verse 51 of chapter 6. And I believe that God's asking us through his word that we consider this, that we get it right, or as right as we might. Again, ultimately, this is mystery. Some would say that references to body and blood, to bread and wine, are simply metaphors. Anglican theology, Eucharistic theology, doesn't embrace that. We believe that God is present in the bread. God is present in the wine. How? You know, I don't know. But it's not simply a wafer and not simply some wine that the altar guild sort of put together for us. When we ask God's blessing on it, literally consecrate, make it holy, we treat it differently. And I believe it acts upon us differently. We come by faith, that's for sure. And Jesus is desiring to engage the faith of his listeners. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The people have been fed by Jesus on the other side of the lake. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people, maybe more, gathered, and Jesus fed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And they ate until they were satisfied. It was a good meal. It was a good deal. You know what that's like. You come away from a meal out and you think, yeah, that was worth it. Or you think, never again. It was a good meal. It said they were satisfied. Jesus and the disciples go away and take a break, and yet the people are there clamoring for their stomachs to be filled. But Jesus sees beyond that they have a profound need. And so they cut short their retreat and minister to the crowds. The Jews, it said, and therefore these are the Orthodox folk wanting to make sure that Jesus is sort of towing the line, the establishment, again, focused in Jerusalem at the temple. They're about as far away from Jerusalem as you can get in Galilee. And Jesus is engaging them full on. They quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It would have been anathema for a Jew to eat human flesh. It would be just a grievous sin, and any thought of it would be abhorrent. And Jesus goes right to that point. Jesus, again, did not back down. He said, most assuredly, I say to you. Whenever it says verily, verily, that's sort of the Old Testament way of a highlighter. They didn't have highlighter in the day, and yet verily, verily means get this point. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, no one can say that unless they have life in them. They're a different order of being. We have derivative life. We receive life and keep life alive until our spirit departs our body. Jesus has life in himself because the Father has life in himself. And the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit, is to go and give life, to come alongside, to enliven, renew, refresh, heal. And so the symbols of water and oil and fire are all those living symbols of a living faith. And yet death is at the heart of it. The death of Jesus is at the very heart of it. One who gave up that life that was in himself to open a new and living way so that eternal life is to be lived here on earth, and then there's no barrier. We live it past this physical life into this thing called life eternal. Again, I don't understand it, but I believe it to be true, and I want to live that life. I want to live that life that our Creator intended for us. The people had been running after Jesus, kind of like, could we have that lunch again? We're kind of hungry again. I brought my family this time. It was a great deal then. There was lots of leftovers. Are there any of those? Kind of, it's that idea. It's like they go on retreat to Harrison Hot Springs, and before they know it, buses are clogging the highway. Buses of people that heard that Jesus was there because they have a hunger and a need, and they're desperate. And so they're just filling up the waterfront, and Jesus gets in a speedboat and interrupts someone's wakeboarding session and pushes out and teaches them. Verily, verily, underline this. Listen to this. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, lives with me, stays with me, is united with me, and I in him. This food and drink is a different type of food and drink. Is it simply metaphor? I don't believe it is. As we gather, and all are welcome to receive bread and wine today, you're encouraged to do so. Those who are baptized, those who are part of this fellowship, this universal fellowship, regardless of your denomination, that if you're baptized in water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're welcome here today. And so Bob is entering the church in a different way through baptism. I would suggest that, well, first of all, I have to say that it's been really a pleasure to get to know Bob and Ann. And through this journey of faith, to see Bob come to a point of commitment and understanding that wasn't there before. And that's taken some time within this community of faith. It makes sense to me. That's how the church is supposed to work, if you will. That's how the body is supposed to function, to model a life that has a quality that is attractive. And Bob's come to an understanding that it's through baptism that he comes into the fullness of this life. And through participation in this community meal of bread and wine that he enters in fellowships with Jesus at another level. One thing I've learned about Bob is that he's been part of habitat restoration for salmon and fish in general for over 40 years, he said. I can just see Bob as a kid messing around on the Fraser and its tributaries, looking for the fishing hole, finding it, and maybe telling a few friends. I don't know if you kept that stuff secret, but the thrill of playing a fish and through this clean water of the Fraser. You know it's been a while, right? So Bob's had this really organic commitment to this place and to these creatures. And as I've been thinking about this since our conversation, I believe there's a parallel, and I hope to make that parallel without taking too much time here or getting people totally confused, walking away thinking, fish food, like what's he talking about? Jesus is wanting the crowd to relate to him not as bread vendor, not as the bread man, but as the Lord of life. Not as one who dispenses even good things, satisfying things. He calls the people into a deeper relationship, and I think that's where the eating and the drinking, that's where it comes in. When we eat his flesh and drink his blood, there is no separation. We incorporate Jesus into our very body. Now, is he simply speaking on a physical level? No, I don't believe he is. But there's this mystery between physical and spiritual that speaks of Jesus, who is fully human and fully divine, and doesn't budge an inch on that. Some say that Jesus came so that we could learn what God's like, who God is. Others say Jesus came to model what it means to be human, fully alive, fully free. Well, I'd say both are at play here. And so Jesus is saying, take this into me, make this part of your being, not some external act, not perhaps simply coming to me when you need something. Do you have people like that in your life? They call, and when you find out who it is, you just wait. You could even count. There it is. They want something. It's more money. They want some help. They want something. That's the only time you hear from them. Jesus is asking those who have come by the busloads, by the boatloads, by the crowds, to go deeper. He's inviting us, I believe, he's inviting them to take Jesus into their very beings, into our very beings. And that path, paradoxically, to life is death. And that's the image of baptism. To die to self, not become obliterated, we're fully there, but to die to self and be made alive in Christ. Again, mystery ultimately. And yet it's through water, it's through community, it's through God's word, it's through his spirit, it's through fire and oil, this mark that we receive that is to be Christ's own forever. I believe it's not unlike the salmon, who, separate from water, is really not a salmon anymore. It's dead. It's not who it's created to be. And so the water affects the salmon, the habitat, on all of its levels. Temperature, which relates to oxygen, which relates to plant life, which relates to just all these levels of this ecosystem and ecosystems. After a year in fresh, 2 years in salt, some fish have a 7-year cycle, some have a shorter cycle, then they make their way on this mystery of migration, this mystery of to spawn, reproduce, and then die. The point I want to make is the salmon and the water are inextricably bound. If the water is polluted, the salmon dies. If the water is fresh, oxygenated, if the habitat is good and healthy, salmon flourish. So too with us. To ask a salmon not to be separate from water would be ridiculous. And to ask a Christian to be separate from Jesus and this life that he brings would be equally ridiculous. There is no life, Jesus says, apart from me. That's quite a bold statement. And I would suggest to you that the only one who could make that statement is one who has life in themselves. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And I believe that's our benefit of witnessing this process in Bob. If you want to know more about it, ask Bob what it's been like for him to learn and then to come to Jesus. Just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself and has given him authority. And so we have water. We know the salmon run is on. And I pray through that jumble of images and possibilities that we could, I don't know, be blessed in some way. Why spend money on what is not bread, the prophet says, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Take and eat. If you come to communion today, just consider that as your prayer, an outstretched hand, an empty hand, open to receive. We gather around Bob, we gather around this font, and we gather around this meal. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.